All right, the Rambam in the end of his Hakdamah Perkhelek, so this is where he famously presents the 13 Ikari Amuna. Mimashit Sarach Shinizkor Bekan, who roi Mikola Mikolos. I should mention here, and this is probably, says the Rambam, the most appropriate place to discuss this in all my writings. She Ikari Dalsinu V'Yesodos Seh Shlosha Asur Yesodos, that there are 13 foundations upon which our religion rests. Now, before we begin them, I'll just point out that the whole idea of Ikarim is something that others have questioned. What does that imply about other beliefs? And this was, from a certain perspective, a chiddush of the Rambam to record a specific number of Ikarei Imuna. Other Rishonim give other lists. The truth is that each of the Ikarim here can be a shir unto itself. There's a lot to discuss. But for the purposes of our Chabura, so we're going to be going through them quickly. I'll try to make a few ha'aras here and there about things for further thought, but we will certainly not do justice to each of these Ikarei Emunah. But be that as it may, let us begin. The Rambam writes elsewhere that these... Actually, we'll see it at the end, so we don't have to discuss it right now. So let's just begin. Let's jump into it. Hayesod HaRishon, the first of the Ikarei Emunah. Lahamin Mitzios HaBor Yisbarach, to believe in the existence of God. Now, the word Lahamin here, we've mentioned earlier that the Rambam wrote this in Arabic, and it's translated into Hebrew. The scholars of Arabic have noted that the word Lahamin here doesn't exist, actually, that in the Arabic, it just says, Mitzias Habori Yisparach, the existence of God. It doesn't say to believe. And the word to believe, Lahamin, is a term that needs to be analyzed. The Rambam writes in Mishneh Torah, which was written in Hebrew, he writes in the very beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, that the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha requires of us leida, that there's a God, to know, that to believe that there's a God, or to know that there is a God. One might imply, to believe might imply a belief that's not based on rational thought or based on analysis, but just a blind belief. While Leida certainly implies a rational element or an intellectual element. Also in the standard translation of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, which he also wrote in Arabic, so the first mitzvah, which is belief in Hashem, so it also says in the standard edition, Lahamin. But Rav Chaim Heller, in his retranslation from the original Arabic, shows that the original Arabic word is really Leida there also. And there's no contradiction between the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. So here too, the word Lahamin, we need to question if that is the appropriate word here, because it could be that what really we're required to believe, all these ikarim are things that we're supposed to know. In fact, if you look at the later, at the second and third and the fourth, he doesn't say lahamin or leida. He just says what the ikar is: yichud, shlilus hagashmius, kadmus, nevua. So here also, probably the correct reading is just metzias habor yisparach, the existence of God. V'hu shiyesh sham nimtza shalim b'chol darchei metzius. And what is this ikar that we must know slash believe, that there is in existence something that's perfect, and it has an existence that is unique from all other existences. Hu ilas mitzios hanimtzam kulam. He is the reason, the cause for all other beings. Bo kiyum mitziusam. Their existence is through him. Umimenu kiyumam. V'al yale ha'leiv, al ha'leiv, heder mitziusam. And you cannot even consider the lack of God's existence. Ki beheder mitziuso nizbat lemitzius kol nimtzayim. Because if his existence would cease, so then the existence of all creations would cease. V'lo nishar nimtza shetiskayim mitziuso. And there would be no creation whose continued existence would remain. This idea that let's just finish, actually. So if we would consider hit God to stop existing, so then all of creation would stop existing. And if we would consider the cessation of the existence of all creations, lo tisbatel metzias Hashem yisbarach lo sigareya, then it wouldn't touch in any way his existence. This formulation is what we refer to as that Hashem is the mechuyav hametzias. He is what generates existence. Without him, nothing can exist. But his existence is not dependent on anything. And therefore, if everything else would cease to exist, God would continue to exist. The Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Ani Rishon, Va'ani Achron, Umi Baladai, Ein Elokim. Hashem does not need anything to exist. And everything needs Hashem in order to exist. His existence is enough with himself. He doesn't need anything else in order to exist. And everything else besides God, including the pure intellectual beings, the angels, and the entire universe, and everything in the universe, and everything that is in below the celestial spheres, everything. They all need Hashem in order to exist. This is the first of the Yevilim Karim, and it is what is referred to by the Pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem. So if we think, because a person needs to internalize all 13 of these Ikarim. So the Rambam, as we're going to see later, the Rambam is going to say that to be a member of Klal Yisrael and to gain Olam Haba, a person needs to have a firm belief and knowledge of these 13 Ikarim. So the first Ikar is that God exists, and his existence is unique. It's not like the existence of anything else, because its existence is not dependent on anything. As opposed to everything else in creation, including myself and you, that all of our existence is dependent on Hashem. In addition, Hashem is the provider of existence. So we have to think about all of that in order to internalize the first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. Vayisod Hasheni, what is the second of the Ikarei Emunah? Yichud Hashem Yisborach, the unity of Hashem. Klomar Shenamen Tzish, that we must believe that this being, which is the cause of everything, is only one. Now this flows from the first Iker. The first Iker was that Hashem is unique and different from all other creations, because all other creations require Hashem to exist, but Hashem doesn't require them in order for him to exist. So that can only be said about one thing. You can't say about two beings that it's unique because it's the only being whose existence is not dependent on others, because that can't be said about two beings. So we say that that's, first of all, that there can't be two. And in addition to that, when we say Hashem is one, he's a very unique type of one. Eino ke'echad hazug. He's not like one in a pair. Sometimes you can even refer to a... I'm going to admit that the Rambam is going to use a few terms now where he says it's not one like the following usages of the term one. So we're going to try our best to identify what the Rambam means, but we'll definitely get the idea. So let's begin. Again, it says Hashem is not one in the sense, when we say Hashem is one, it's a unique kind of oneness. It's not one like Echad Hazug. One pair of socks has two parts to it. It's got the left sock and the right sock, but it's still called one pair. So when we say Hashem is one, we don't mean a one that has two parts to it or three parts to it. This Trinitarian belief that there's one God with three parts, that's not what we mean when we say that Hashem is one. He's also not like Echad Hamin. So this might refer to, many times we'll say like there's a species, you know, there's this one being called a spider. Yeah, but there's so many different types of spiders. Or even if there's a certain species of spider, I'm not a zoologist, but if we're talking about a species of tiger, So there might be different types of tigers within that. When we say, again, we don't mean one in that sense, when we're referring to a group as one. V'lo ki'isha echad amurkov shu nechlak l'achadim rabim. Certainly not like when we refer to a man and we say, like, if I would ask you, are you one? So the answer is, yeah, I'm one. But you're made up of parts. You have arms, and you have legs, and you have bones, and muscle tissue. But Hashem's oneness is a pure oneness. It's an absolute oneness. It's a oneness of absolute simplicity. Meaning normally, sophisticated beings are complex. They have complexity to them. They're made up of many parts. All right, a complex machine is often made up of many parts, even though the machine is one unified unit. But Hashem is the opposite. He's one, right? Everything we know of in that we interact with, the floor that I'm standing on is made up of particles and molecules. And, I mean, before we even get to that, the floor I'm standing on is made out of tiles and out of grout, and there's probably sand underneath it and concrete. And the cup that I'm holding in my hand is made out of clay and all different types of you know, there's paint on it. And generally, that's what we interact with. And even on a more micro level, you find a piece of wood, and you say, okay, this wood is just a piece of wood. It's not made up of plastic and other entities. But even the wood itself is made up of atoms and of particles and molecules. Hashem is one, and this is a mind-blowing concept. It's hard to wrap our heads around this. That Hashem is one, and yet he's the ultimate simplicity. He doesn't have parts that he's made up of. Everything that exists comes from him. It's all dependent on him. But he's the ultimate simplicity. He's the ultimate complexity, but at the same time, the ultimate simplicity. Shemekab v'lo ke'echad k'mo aguf ha'poshar ha'echad b'minyon. Shemekabel hachiluk v'haprida le'ein sof. Sometimes you have a simple entity, a guf pashut, which is one, doesn't have parts, and yet it's able to be divided up into smaller atoms and smaller, very, very small molecules. We're also not even referring to that. He is a unique kind of one that we find nothing else like it in creation. If we needed to bring this Yisod down a little bit, how do we relate to Hashem as being one? So I think that there are many ways to relate to Hashem as one. We can think of it historically. Throughout history, all the different rise and falls of the empires and all the different events that have occurred, tragedies, happy moments, so those all stem from the same place. They all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of what we say when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We say Hashem is one. One thing we should be thinking about is that He is the one in the ultimate simplicity's sake, like we've been saying. He's not made up of any parts. But in addition to that, He is the one force throughout history that has impacted the world and that is orchestrating events in the world. When we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to rely on Him as the single one. We can't say, I rely partially on Hashem, but also partially on my own intellect, my own endeavors. It's true that we have to do a shtadlus, we have to make an effort. We have to realize that Hashem runs the world alone. There's no other being that's running the world with Him. We also, I think, on a very personal level, have to relate to Hashem this way. We have to realize that all of the events that happen to us, so they all come from one single source. There aren't intermediaries, religious intermediaries, that we need in order to access Hashem. Now, it brings us back to the first Yisod on a certain level, because it says there, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why doesn't it just say Anochi Hashem Elokim in the beginning of the Dibros? It says Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that expression of Elokecha almost beckons us to relate to Hashem as a personal God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He doesn't even say Anochi Hashem Elokechem. to the masses. But he uses a term which is individualistic. It's specific to each person. Okay, let's move on to the third. Hayesod HaShlishi. Shlilus HaGashmiyos. That Hashem is not a physical being. Denying of the Gashmiyos, of the physical element of Hashem. V'zeh Shenamin Ki HaEchad HaZeh. This one that we've just referred to a minute ago in the Yesod HaSheni, Shezachayinu, Eino Guf V'lo Koach B'Guf. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't involve himself in bodily actions. V'lo Yasigehu Me'oros HaGufim. The different activities or events that happen to bodies don't occur by him. So he isn't a body, he's not a force within a body. That expression, koach beguf, is a hard expression to translate, at least it's hard for me to translate. And also that Hashem doesn't have bodily events that happen. Kimo, for instance, like tenua, like movement, or menucha, rest, or Mishkan, it doesn't exist in a singular location. V'lo mitzad atzmus v'lo b'mikre. This is not true in his essence, and it's not something that happens b'mikre, occasionally. It's an interesting question. We say Hashem here doesn't have a body. Does that mean that he can't assume a bodily form? So this goes to the question of the rock that God can't lift, like that famous question. Could God create a rock that he can't lift? He can create everything, so of course he can create a rock that he can't lift. But how could he create a rock that he can't lift? He can do everything. So I like to answer the question and say that, yeah, he can create a rock that he can't lift, but he can also lift it. But then it's not a rock that he can't lift. No, he can create a rock that he can't lift, and he can also lift it. Because he can do everything. Oh, how do those two things coexist? I'm not sure how they coexist. But Hashem can do everything. But I think the Rambam elsewhere writes that you don't have to answer the question that way. That's not the way the Rambam answers the question. The Rambam says that there are certain things that are not considered limitations. They might even be word games. So I think the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, he asks, can Hashem create a creator like him? You know what I mean? It's a similar formulation of this question. So it could be that this line of lo b'mikra, that's what I'm talking about, this lo mitzad atzmos, certainly he doesn't need to be a physical form. Mitzad atzmos means mitzad the etzim of who he is. Shem definitely does not have a physical form. And it's important, especially when we're educating our children, that we shouldn't talk about Hashem as being like an old man sitting on a chair in Shemayim with his beard that drags on the floor. Hashem does not have a body. And lo b'etzem, certainly lo b'etzem, the lo even b'mikra could mean that Hashem doesn't assume a bodily form, ever. V'lechein, shalu mimenu ha-chacham z'chorom l'vrach ha-chivor ha-peirud. And for this reason, Chazal tries as best as possible to distance from Hashem any expressions that express chibor or pirud, which means coming together, breaking apart, things that occur to physical bodies. Yeah. And coming together, meaning associating with a specific place or being distanced from a specific place. Chazal tell us, Ein lamala lo yeshiva, lo amida. Above, Hashem doesn't sit in any place. He doesn't stand. Again, that would probably be the chibor. Lo oref velo ofoy, there it, which is klomar lo pirud. That's what we mean when we say lo pirud. What does this mean? Lo oref. The low ifoy. So klomar, low perud, v'hu oref. That's this expression of oref. So these words are a little hard to translate here. Literally, oref would be a back, and ifoy would mean to be tired, to run out of power. So the way the Rambam though explains things, let's go back a line. Klomar lo feirud v'hu oref, v'lo chibor v'hu ipui. Miloshen v'afu ba kasef plishtim. Klomar, what does that mean, this pasuk in Yeshaya? Yidchafu osam bekasef, leschabram bohem. So I think we're going to leave the translation for now. The Chazal, again, that the Gemara that's being quoted, Ein lamalo yeshiva lo amid lo oref lo ipoy. I think in our Gemara it even doesn't say amid. I think it says tachros. Lo yeshiva lo tachros lo oref lo ipoy. But these are describing human things and things that we don't find by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yomar HaNavi, ve'el mi tidam yun keo. Yeshaya says, who could you possibly compare Hashem to? Ve'el mi tidam yun Ve'eshve yomar kadosh. V'yu ha'yaguf, ha'yadom ha'lagufim. If Hashem had a body, then we could compare him. Why does the Navi say he's not comparable? Because there's nothing about Hashem that's comparable to a regular human being. There's nothing physical. Hashem is beyond space. V'chol ma'ashabal b'kisvei ha'kodesh shemit arimoso b'ta'arei ha'gufos. Anything that comes in the Torah, which is written, that seems to describe that Hashem has physical attributes. Kimo halicha v'amida v'yeshiva v'dibur k'yotze b'zeh. Hakol derech ha'shalom. It's all just borrowed language in order for us to be able to relate. But Hashem doesn't really walk or stand or sit. V'chein amru zecharon l'vrach. This is what Chazal say. Dibra Torah k'loshin b'nei adam. Chazal spoken about this a lot. Now the Rambam here writes what we've just read, that we try to not use anthropomorphic terms, terms that ascribe to Hashem human activities, because he doesn't engage in human activities. What the Rambam does not discuss here, but he makes reference to it in Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam writes that Hashem also does not really have human emotions, anger, happiness. Now these are terms that we do use all the time about Hashem. The Torah itself does. Besides the fact, as the Rama mentioned, besides the fact that the Torah sometimes refers to physical attributes to Hashem, it'll say the eyes of Hashem, the Zroa Natuya, the Yad Hashem. Those are just borrowed terms, but it's much more than that. Even the other terms, like the anger of Hashem, Hashem is happy, those terms are also borrowed terms that are not really consistent with the reality of who Hashem is. The truth is that if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, towards the end of Perek Aleph, so the Rambam there elaborates more on this, and there he talks about anger and happiness. These are things that are also not really true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that seemingly is all included in this, even though the Rambam doesn't spell it out here, that's all included in the distancing of Gashmius from Hashem. Now, the Ravid famously argues on the Rambam in Mishnah Torah about this Yisod and notes that seemingly the Ravid is saying that one does not become a heretic, not be kores, for believing that Hashem has a body. The Ravid certainly agrees with the Rambam that Hashem does not have a body, but he's not sure that this... Yeah, it sounds like he also agrees that it's an ikker, but he's not sure that one who makes a mistake about this, since the psukim do describe Hashem this way, and a person could make a mistake based on reading the psukim, although the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, in Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamed Vav, I believe, that the Rambam writes that a person still should find a teacher and should and accept what the teacher teaches him regarding this issue. Even though you do see psukim that say Einei Hashem, but you should be educated and know that that's not the truth. But be that as it may, the Rambam certainly counts it here as an ikker. V'yasod ha'shlishi hu hazem morelav ma'ashenamer kilo re'isem kol timuna. The pasuk in Devarim says that you didn't see Kal Yisrael Hashem as a recap of Matan Torah. He reminds them that they didn't see any image because Hashem doesn't have a physical image. Klomar lo hisagtem oso bal tmuna lefishu kamo shezacharnu eino guf velo koach beguf. He's not a physical body, and he's not even a force within a physical body. Okay, moving on to the fourth ikker, hakadmus. V'hu shenamin ki zeha echad ha'amor hu kadmon behechlet. That Hashem is the ultimate first. He precedes everything in existence. V'chol nimtza zulasa bilti kadmon be'erko alav. And nothing, no matter how old it is a first in comparison to Hashem, because Hashem comes before everything. In fact, even the term that Hashem comes chronologically before everything is not an exact term, because we know that time is a result of creation. Before creation, there was also no time. Time was also created. And therefore, what we really mean is that Hashem is beyond time. Now, that means that He exists in the past, present, and future all at the same moment, even though the term moment is also not a proper term. That Hashem exists at this moment, both in the past and the future, and also in the present, is also just a relative term that we use, because we can't have any hasag of anything existing outside of time, but Hashem does. What we basically are seeing in Yesod HaShlishi and Yesod HaRevi is that the constrictions that we are familiar with, time and place, Hashem transcends both of those. He transcends place and He transcends time. Now, we think that we can understand something that transcends place. It doesn't have a specific place, because we think of air, or we think of radio waves, but just because they're not visible doesn't mean they don't have location. We can't really relate to anything. There's nothing that we know of that exists that doesn't have location, except for Hashem. So we can't really wrap our heads around that, and certainly to be able to talk about something that exists outside of time is also something that's impossible for us to conceptualize. But be that as it may, that's what we are saying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol nimtza zulasa bilti kadmon be'erko alav. V'harayal sozeh b'kisvei HaKadosh Rabos. There are many psukim that indicate this. V'yesod ravi hazeh mora alav ma'ashenemar me'ona elokei kedem. Refer to Hashem as elokei kedem. Okay, moving on to the Yesod HaChamishi. And this is going to round off the first five Ikarei Emunah. Are all about Hashem. We should just mention, why are we talking about the Ikarei Emunah here? The Rambam is commenting on the Mishnah that says that a person who's an apikores loses his olam haba. So the Rambam, I guess, sees it fit in this location to describe, well, what do you need to believe in order to not be an apikores? What are our basic beliefs? So the first five are all about Hashem. We mentioned that not everybody has 13. But Yosef Albo, in his Sefer Ikarim, Rav Yosef Albo was a Talmud of the Ran. So Rav Yosef Albo, or a Grand Talmud of the Ran, so he writes that there are only three. The first of his is the existence of Hashem. And I believe the Brisker Rav writes that the first five of the Rambam is the first of the Sefer Ikarim, or Rav Yosef Albo, because the first is the existence of Hashem, and these five are all about the nature of Hashem's existence. The first one, that Hashem is the Mechuyav HaMetzias, that He has this unique relationship with all of creation, that He doesn't need them to exist, but they need Him to exist. The unity of Hashem, that Hashem is beyond space, He doesn't have a body. The fourth, that Hashem is beyond time, that He precedes everything in creation. And now the fifth, HaYisod HaChamishi, Shu Yisbaruch Hu HaRoi LeOvdo UleGadlo UleOdio GeDuloso. Now that we've just described how unique Hashem is, so the conclusion is the fifth Iker, that Hashem is the only one who is right to serve. There are no intermediaries. There are no other things in creation. The sun, the moon, Chas v'Shalom, none of these things are things that we should be serving. We should only be serving Hashem. Only He is fit to serve and to do His commandments. V'lo yasu kazel mishu tachtav metzius, even things that are underneath Him, you know, we give honor to a governor because he represents the larger entity. If you give respect to the slave of the servant of the king, so it's giving respect to the king. But when it comes to serving, the only one that's appropriate to serve is Hashem, and none of his officers are deserving of our service. So therefore, the malachim, the Kochavim, the Galgalim, the Yesodos, Umasha Orkamahem, all of these entities in creation, angels and stars, none of these things are appropriate for service. The Fishikulam Mutbayim Al Pu'ulosam. All of them have jobs. They have specific positions that they fill within Hashem's creation. Ain Mishpat V'lo B'chir Lehem, but they don't make any decisions. and on their own, and they don't have the ability to make decisions. Elo lo levado Hashem yisparach. Only Hashem is the one who's fit and appropriate, the appropriate target for our service and our prayers. V'chein ein roi la'avdam k'dei liyosem emtsam l'karvo olav. We shouldn't look to them as being intermediaries. Ela elav bilvad yichavnu amachshavos. We should only focus our thoughts towards him. V'yanichu kol mashuzu l'asu. And put aside everything else besides that. This is the big discussion that emerges about visiting kvarim of tzaddikim. To daven at the kever of a tzaddik. So if we're davening to Hashem, it's okay. But if we're davening to the tzaddik, so this raises a question with this yesod. For this reason, there are certain parts of davening, machnisei rachamim, which is a prayer that seems to be directed towards the angels, that we ask the angels to bring our prayer before Hashem. So the appropriateness of that prayer, the discussion revolves around this yesod. Some people don't like to sing the third stanza of Shalom Aleichem. Third stanza, we say Shalom Aleichem, and then we say Bo'achem L'Shalom, and then we say Barchuni L'Shalom. We ask the angels to bless us. And some thought that was inappropriate in light of this ikar here. V'zeh Yisoda Chamishi Hu Shehizhir Al Avodas Elilim V'rov Ator Musheres Olav. This is a commandment not to do Avodah Zarah, and to only pray to Hashem, and not to pray to intermediaries. And most of the Torah, or not most, many sections of the Torah are directed regarding this specific belief of directing all of our tefillos to Hashem alone.